The morning of Thanksgiving, we pulled our tree out of our basement, set it up in the corner of the front room, ready to be decorated sometime this coming week. Approximately once an hour since that exact moment, I have been asked the question, is tomorrow Christmas? We've been waiting. I mean, at two, Joey was into Christmas. At three, he seemed to get it a lot more. But at four, he's all about it. Every single hour, is tomorrow Christmas? Is tomorrow Christmas? Is tomorrow Christmas? And this morning I want to answer clearly for all of us. No. Tomorrow is not Christmas. Thank God. I mean, I don't know about you, but I am not ready. Each year as we enter this time of preparation, something in church we call the Advent season, I always tell you my desire is that by the time Christmas arrives, when the answer to the question is Christmas tomorrow actually is yes, at that point, it's my desire that we would have used this time so that we'll be ready then, not just logistically. I want our hearts, our souls, and our relationships to be ready for Christmas. That's why we take these 4 weeks marked by the lighting of candles to bring more light into our lives. Light that is brought by the hope, the peace, the love, and the joy that are given to us this season. In guiding us through the coming weeks of preparation, framing our conversations of hope, peace, love, and joy, will be the lyrics of one of my favorite Christmas Eve tunes, O Holy Night. We'll use different lyrics each week to set the scene and guide us into these sacred conversations. It's these lyrics that actually inspired Brandon, our director of children's ministry. He came up with our Advent theme this year. Let your soul feel its worth. Taken right from the song. It's my sincere desire that each and every person who makes Highlands United Methodist Church part of their Advent and Christmas season will leave this place knowing the worth of their soul. Hear the words of this beautiful tune. Long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared. And the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices. For yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. As we await Christ's appearing, we will consider what it means for our souls to feel their worth. For when our souls feel their worth, when we feel worthy, we not only encounter hope, peace, love, and joy for ourselves, but we then are able to offer hope, peace, love, and joy to the world. And talk about attributes and qualities a weary world is desperate for. Hope, peace, love, joy. To steal a word for the song, I am pining for these things. Pining is not a word we use very often. I think we should. I am pining for hope. Is your soul pining for hope as well? If so, you are not alone. I believe our world is in need of hope. You can call it sin and error, like the song does, or you can call it imperfection. You can call it angst. Tension, anxiety, disagreement, division. There is a long list of words to describe what the world has been long laying in. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, because we are pining for something more hopeful, something more life-giving, something that reminds us of what the world can be. And we need not look far. In fact, we don't even have to follow a star to find it. Hope for what the world can be, the hope of Christmas, is incarnated. It's made real and brought to life, not only in a manger in that first Christmas, but it will be incarnated in each and every one of our souls this day and every day. That's what our scripture this day reminds us of, the hope that God sends to the world, not just for us, but the hope God sends through us. Hear the scripture. In the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house will be the highest of the mountains. It will be lifted above all other hills. People will stream to it. Nations will go and say, come, let us go to the Lord's mountain, to the house of Jacob's God, so that he may teach us his ways and we may walk in God's paths. Instruction will come from Zion, the Lord's word from Jerusalem. God will judge between the nations. God will settle disputes of the mighty nations. Then they will beat their swords into iron plows and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will no longer take up sword against nation. They will no longer learn how to make war. Come, house of Jacob, God's people, let us walk by the Lord's light. This scripture comes from Isaiah, one of God's prophets who was speaking to a community that was pining for something more. Oh, things were rough. It was a bad time to be God's people. Okay, it's always a good time to be God's people, but it was bad times for God's people. I mean, there was intense political uncertainty. There were culture clashes like you wouldn't believe. People who lived here thinking differently than people who lived there, not wanting the same things for their world. And I kid you not, the underlying theme of the culture at the time was people wanting to make their country great again. The prophet Isaiah was called upon to answer the question, how are God's people supposed to respond to these circumstances? What are we supposed to do, God? And they want something powerful. They want something so obvious it cannot be denied. They want to see the Lord's mountain, a physical place. They want to see God's presence be the center of all focus and decision-making. They want to see God's place lifted above all other things. That God would be the center of all focus and decision-making and relationships. They dream, they pine for a world where there will be peace. Where swords are beaten into plowshares. This is a powerful metaphor. Practically, it could be done. The swords turned into that which would make room for the farming. But in this beautiful metaphor, that which once ripped life apart would now be used to bring new life forth. That's what they wanted to see. And Isaiah offers them instructions for such a hopeful future. But it's not the geographical miracle they were hoping for. God's presence, that mountain, will not be made known by suddenly the lifting of the foundations of the earth. The landscape is not going to change, folks. But the topography of our souls will change. The scripture says it so simply. Come, let's walk by the Lord's light. For this is where our hope will be found. This is where the world's hope resides, in the Lord's light and how we choose to walk in it. Should you question your soul's worth, please know that God believes you are exactly what the world needs. God thinks pretty highly of you. God thinks really highly of you. God believes that you are what the world needs. God believes in us so much that God believes that if we, you and me, if we were to walk in God's light, if we would simply live hope and peace and love and joy this Christmas and every day, God knows that will change the world. Our walking in God's light, seeking to live and love like Jesus, whose birth we will celebrate as the arrival of light into the world, that will bring hope, not just to our lives or our nation, but all nations. This is the promise of hope found in God's word. Let your soul feel the worth of being a light bearer. I don't know if you ever noticed the joy our acolytes walk down this aisle with. And what beautiful example did we have today? David and Bradley love this moment. They wait back there. Paul lights them and they can't wait. You can just see they're waiting for me to say, and now let the, okay, they're coming. Because they know that bringing that light in matters. My question is, can we leave this room with that same energy as we carry God's light out? Can we just wait for that benediction? Okay, he's going to tell us to go. He's going to tell us to go, and we're taking the light with us. This is the invitation of hope. Let your soul feel the worth of being a light bearer. You know, we use candles to mark the movement of the Advent season for a very good reason. We are awaiting a Savior that our scriptures call the light of the world. and we light candles amidst the shortest days of the year, the darkest time of our calendar. You may have noticed that our Advent candles are not the same colors that they used to be. For many of us, the candles on the Advent wreath have been 3 purple and 1 pink for our entire lives. And in plenty of churches, they still are. But this year, Highlands United Methodist Church has made a switch to blue. A lot of churches have been doing this over time. And no, it is not a conspiracy by the candle people just to sell more candles. It's very intentional. Color matters in our worship space. It tells a story. Instead of the same royal purple that we use during Lent, getting ready for Christ's crucifixion and resurrection, we're marking this season with a different mood and a different color. There's a wonderful theologian and author, the Reverend Diana Butler Bass, and she offered this explanation of why she is grateful for Advent with the color blue. It was in the Washington Post just this week. Advent should not be a mini Lent. It is not a time to examine sins, engage in self-denial, and spend our time confessing. It is not about penance. Rather, Advent is of a different spiritual hue. It is a time of waiting, of expectation, of hope in the darkness. The blue candles symbolize the color of the sky right before dawn. That time when the deepest dark is infused with hints of light. Blue holds the promise that the sun will rise and that even after the bleakest, coldest, longest night, the light will break forth as that new day arrives. Blue may be the color of sadness, but blue is also the color of hope. I love how she describes that. The color of the sky just before dawn. That is hope. No matter how long the world has been in sin and error, in anxiety and distrust, in tension and division, Christmas shows up reminding us that God's light arrives. As we light each candle, the glow will become brighter. It not only will become brighter there at our wreath, but thanks to Sue Stevenson, the glow of the candles will also arrive on our altar. As we get to watch the movement and the time, the light arriving, coming to be with us, the light of hope, peace, love, and joy, God says to us, come, walk in the light. Now, because God likes to mess with me, I have an addendum to share with you in the sermon this morning. The North Denver Tribune article about our congregation's vision for building a home where all belong, the story about the garage, it was published on the web a couple days ago, and so I made sure to share it on Facebook. In fact, I would love if all of you would do that. You can go to my Facebook page or the church's Facebook page. Please click share. Let people see and know this story. And as it shares around, we get some comments. It's fun to see. The bishop of the Baltimore Washington Conference commented on it this morning and then tagged some of her church leadership folks saying, we need to be doing this. How cool is that? And as it shares around, we're getting these comments, lots of incredible affirmations, some really good response. People love what this congregation's vision is. And then we got one comment that was less than affirming. It is the internet, after all. The original post reads, this is what I wrote. Wow, check out the great story about our commitment to and investment in the neighborhood. And then it has links to the donation page and the newspaper article. And one of the responses posted late yesterday simply reads, nope. Just nope. For all the feedback we have gotten, that one word was now stuck in my head. My first instinct was to go through the little management controls and just delete the comment. Nope. But being that we are a congregation that does not shy away from difficult conversations, I instead decided to reply to the comment with an invitation to dialogue. So I wrote back, feedback always welcome. Right? That feels open. No, you're shaking your head, but it's the week of hope. It's the, you know, come on. And so while I was giving the sermon another once-over last night, my iPad dinged at me that another response had been posted. And I was hoping it would be more than one word, but not just two. And it was. Here's what the comment read. Sorry, I take it back. I took a closer look at your website, and it looks like you guys are actually practicing what you're preaching. Good on ya. good idea, glad you're my neighbor, 2 exclamation points. As I sat writing about hope, I found some. And the hope isn't simply because we went from nope to good on ya, but because when someone looked at how our congregation is striving to be incarnational, to live God's love, to make God's love real and bring it to life for our community and our world, when someone looked at how we were doing our best to walk in the light, they saw something that brought hope. And that mountain of the Lord, that divine presence, was lifted a little higher for all to see. This is what our souls are capable of. That is why God is entrusting us with the gift of Christmas. And I pray that it brings you hope. So come, let's walk by the Lord's light. Amen.